Well, this morning we have with us Rich Henderson, who is a longtime university staffer. I think you were with us for 25 years?
Yeah.
Yes. And for quite a few of those years, he was here at the Service Center as a missions director, and before that in the field for quite many years. Off in North Carolina, I believe, right?
In Northern California.
Northern California, okay.
Both.
All right. So, and it's interesting, we hadn't really consulted about the day of prayer, but Rich is going to be teaching out of Ephesians 2, so I thought that was a great segue from our inductive Bible study time on Monday. And by the way, Rich was part of an inductive Bible study circle for many years here. So he, for one of the real blessings of coming on staff with InterVarsity was being introduced to the whole inductive Bible study culture. And Rich is one of the shining lights in that area for InterVarsity, along with many other staff. So Rich, thank you for being with us.
Thanks. It's fun to be here with you guys. I am a little surprised about changes in the National Service Center since I've left. You know, employee profiling is one thing, but having the blue chairs and the red chairs. I mean, and frankly, I'm a little surprised by where some of you are sitting in particular. I wouldn't have guessed some of you for red chair people. So, I don't know. I am Rich. I'm married to Martha. I'm currently a pastor at Blackhawk. I am a veteran of InterVarsity for 25 years as a staff and a friend to many of you, and it's great to be here. My IV heritage, I started as a student at Stanford, eventually came on staff at a great little party school in Northern California called Chico State, ended up as an area director in Chapel Hill, with one of the flagship chapters of InterVarsity at that point. Did a lot of global project directing and link staff supervising on the side for fun, and eventually came here to serve as the director of missions for 6 years. 2 years ago, moved on and to Black Hawk Church. And I just want to say, as I look back at InterVarsity and what you guys are invested in, there's a few things that I really still look back and just highly value. One is your mission. You guys have a valuable mission. College and university students around the United States and the world. I just think you're in the middle of something huge that God cares deeply about. And so as I look back to InterVarsity and to what you guys are investing in, I want to affirm the mission you have. I want to affirm the values you use to do that, the things that you apply to your mission. I value that InterVarsity is a learning organization that continues to try to seek and grow and develop. I appreciate your value for empowerment of women. I appreciate the value of the struggle for ethnic diversity in staff and students. And you guys care about doing the right things the right ways, and I appreciate that. I also appreciate, above all, the people. I think God's drawn together in the organization of InterVarsity some of the best people that I can imagine. So you guys are sitting and working alongside some of God's best, and I really look back with deep appreciation for what your mission is, the values you have, and the people that are doing it. So I just, appreciate you guys a lot. I'm in a job I like now. Two, a lot. Black Hawk Church is just crazy. I really love our staff team. I love the ethos of our church. I like the fact that we're just sort of trying not to get in the way and screw it up. I really like the being involved in the local church. This is what you guys are heading college students toward, is involvement in the local church, which is the hope of the world. And so it's great to be invested in the local church. And I like my job in particular. It's really fun. I'm the pastor of everything outside the walls of the church. So half of God's purposes, I'm the pastor of. So it takes all those other people to be, you know, the college pastor and the this and that, and then I just get everything else. So I'm get to provide leadership for all the things that we do in our community here in Madison to try to engage God's people in the kingdom of God in our local community with local outreach. I also get the global side of things, so I coordinate what we do to the ends of the earth through supporting our long-term missionaries and sending out short-term teams. And then on the side for fun, I coordinate our off-site venue. We have one of our church services meeting in a movie theater. So it's sort of fun to get to coordinate that as well. So I'm having a blast in my job. It's been 2 years now, and I think it's God's place for me at this time, and I'm grateful for what I've had here, but I'm grateful for what he's moved me on to. So today, as we sort of start moving toward the content of our time, I want you to think just for a second about what are key elements of your testimony. Today we're going to be talking about our testimonies. So what are, if somebody said, what's your experience with God? You know, what would be key things that you would share with them? Maybe it's how you came to Christ, or who it was that was instrumental in that. So just think for a second. In fact, turn to a person next to you and just say one or two of those things that are key elements of your testimony. So don't give the 5-minute version. This is the, you know, 30-second each kind of, you know, deal, okay? Okay, we'll come back to that in a while. Since we are going to be in Ephesians and you studied some of it on Monday, I thought it would be good to hear from you guys. What were some of the key takeaways that you had in your study on Monday from Ephesians 1? Did you talk at all about background or of the book, or did you do background at all?
Yeah.
Okay, what were some of the key things from the background of the book? Let's put today's study in a little context.
Paul was writing from prison.
Okay.
It wasn't just for Asia.
Okay. Beyond?
Asia Minor.
Asia Minor.
He wrote to Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians alike. He wrote to both.
Okay.
It's a different worldview than we have.
Good. Go ahead, Pamela. I'm sorry? One of his later letters. Okay, what were some of the things as you got into the first chapter? What were one or two of the main point, key takeaway kind of things?
Lavishness, pleasure, and what he wants to do.
The abundance of his blessings in our life.
The importance of unity.
Mm-hmm.
You're right about the kingdom as though it were here and now.
Yeah.
Something much later.
Good, good. In fact, we're looking at just three verses today, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10 is a continuity of chapter 1, the last half, which is a continuity from what you guys looked at. That is all one section, and the three verses we're looking at is the summary of it. And that section might just be called Our Life in Christ. This is, in Ephesians, what he's describing as our life in Christ. And when we get to this point in the second chapter, he is talking about the power of the resurrected Christ in us. So we get to think about, oh my gosh, God himself resurrected and his work in us. And that's what these three verses talk about. Now, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 is a very famous passage. How many of you off the top of your head think, I can't quote it, but I sort of generally would know what that passage is? Can any of you quote it? Can any of you?
If we say yes, you'll make us go.
So, Becky.
You
have my faith and faith alone, you're saved, something like that.
Yeah, that's the gist of it. For it's by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Yes, this is what we were just talking about. This is our testimony. This is the centerpiece of our theology. This is the core of who we are and what we believe, that the resurrected Christ has reached out to us and given us salvation through Christ by His grace, appropriated by faith. That's it. This is great news. This is good stuff. This is stuff we should be able to have just roll off the tip of our tongues. You know, it's when I was 12 that God stepped into my life and did some amazing things, or when I was 16. And, you know, this is the core of what we believe. It's the core of our experience. It's the core of our testimony. This is good news, and we should be praising God for this. Amen?
Amen.
You know, many of us sort of look back at our life and sort of look at our testimony in different ways. Oh, I wasn't a drug dealer, and I wasn't in the gutter, and, you know, I don't quite can't put the date to it. You know, I would say, regardless of our human circumstances, this aspect of God reaching into our life is dramatic. It's traumatic. It took us from death to life. I don't care how bad or good you were, it took you from spiritual death to spiritual life, and that's amazing. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so now, a lot of us, you know, sort of know Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Anybody know Ephesians 2, 10? Oh, Lucy, you're nailing it. What is it?
For God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for
us. Thank you very much. I'll read it again so you can all hear it. She got it word for word right, by the way. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So first there's the invasion of God's grace into our life, and now Ephesians tells us that there's an assumption that we will participate in the good works of the kingdom. So there's the invasion of grace, and then there's the participation in the good works, both as a result of the power of the resurrected Christ in us. It's a marriage of the good news of the gospel and the good deeds of the gospel in our lives. They're inseparable. So here's the main point. You know, if you're ever curious what a speaker's main point is, I'm just going to tell you. Right here, right now. Our testimonies really should be two-part testimonies. To fully represent the work of the resurrected Christ in our life, it's a testimony of the invasion of God's grace into our lives and our participation with Him in the good works that He has prepared in advance for us to do. There's two parts to our testimony. It's not merely when I was 16, God, but it's now as God continues to empower me by His Spirit, these are the things that He is leading me into for His name's sake, for His glory's sake, for His kingdom. Faith and works together. Good news, good deeds together. That's it. All believers, all Christ followers should be able to have a two-part testimony. Okay, so I want to affirm you guys and challenge you. Here's the affirmation. I think that for most of you, the work that you're doing here is participating in the good works that God has prepared in advance for you to do. In and through your job, you're creating a context for ministry to college students that's drawing students to Christ and growing them in their faith. And what you do in your office, what you do in your cube, what you do around this place creates a context for that kind of ministry to happen. So I want to affirm you that your very job is a part of that participation in God's kingdom stuff. Many of you serve in your churches, inside the walls of your church, benefiting the believers that are there, and I think that's part of the good works that God's prepared for you to do. But here's my challenge. There's an inevitable, unavoidable, significant thrust through Scripture of God's compassionate heart for the lost and for the least. It's unavoidable that God is a God who pursues those who are far away from the center of His kingdom reign.
That's right.
He goes after them. He's passionate about them. And He also has a deep abiding concern for those who are far away from the centers of our society, those who are at risk and on the fringe and marginalized. And you can't miss that in Scripture. So, if we're going to participate in the good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do, I think I would be significantly surprised if God didn't take us into the lives of those very people, to rub shoulders with them, to work alongside them, to laugh and cry with them, to know their hurts and joys. So it's crazy for me to think that if we're really participating in God's kingdom stuff, it's going to be all among Christ followers. Amen?
Yeah.
It's got to take us into the lives of the lost and the least.
Yeah.
So if we're going to participate in His kingdom values and priorities and step into those works that He's prepared for us to do, it's inevitably going to take us alongside the lost and the least. Now, that might look different ways for different ones of us. At one layer, maybe it's just bringing a new level of intentionality to the people that we already rub shoulders with in our life. Your neighbors. You know, who do you go out there and pick up the newspaper, you know, with, or shovel the walks in the winter with? Or maybe it's the people that you see on a regular basis in your life, the person that cuts your hair. Or, you know, there's a lot of people in our lives already. We don't have to necessarily go out and look for new people. I think God's doing a work by His Spirit to weave people into your life, and maybe it's just taking a new degree of intentionality with them. For me, that's me thinking things like, I'm not just at the gym to work out. I see the same people 5 days a week in this place, and I know what's going on with them as they're preparing, training for the Ironman. I know what body parts of theirs are falling apart because they're training for the Ironman, and these things aren't designed for that. And so, I can talk to them about that and tell them that I'm praying for them as they prepare for this and as they go through that. Or maybe it's having a little more intentionality with my next-door neighbor, who's a single woman in her mid-60s who is a few degrees off normal, but I love her for it. You know? She's brilliant, she's great, she's quirky, she's edgy, and I just love her. And so maybe it's inviting her to come to church with me, or just over to our house and walk through our garden and sit down and have a glass of wine. So God's already prepared a lot of people in your lives. So maybe it's just taking a new step of intentionality with them. But maybe it's also being a little more intentional to step into a specific area in our community. Maybe God has endeared you to the homeless, Angie. And you guys are going to invite homeless people to hang out with you, or to bring them to church, or maybe you're just going to go serve them a meal, or play with the kids at the place where they're staying for the night. Or maybe it's finding some low-income single moms that are just vulnerable in our society and coming alongside them and cleaning up their kitchen and listening to their hurts and giving them a ride to the job interview. Or maybe it's getting invested in the school system and tutoring a fifth grader. I mean, I'd be intimidated to tutor an 11th grader because they know more than I do. But I think I could help a fifth grader read. I can do addition and subtraction. You know, or maybe it's getting together with some friends and going to the grocery store and buying some extra groceries and taking them to a food pantry in town. Or going to the food pantry and gathering up the food and delivering it to a needy family who's homebound and can't get to the food pantry. So participating in the good works that God has prepared in advance for you to do may be just right around you. It may take a next step. Or maybe God has wired you and given you experiences and passions that take you across cultural boundaries and borders, and your good works are going to have global impact. Maybe God's going to call you to be a driver for the tour of Madison, and you're going to hang out with international students and get to know them and then invite him to your house the next week for dinner and have a relationship with an international student all year. Or maybe you're going to go to Mexico and swing a hammer and build a house, like Gary did this summer. Or maybe you're going to, go to Kenya. I had the great chance to go to Kenya this summer again and work with women infected and affected by HIV/AIDS. And, go do a home visit into a slum community and visit a mom who lives in a place smaller than my walk-in closet and that she shares with her 6 children. And periodically when her husband comes home every week or two. And sit there and talk to her about what God's doing in her life and have her talk about the hope that she has in Christ. And be completely humbled as I'm sitting there talking with this woman and just thinking, boy, what a privilege to sit alongside her and participate in the good works that God has prepared in advance for me to do in the slums of Nairobi, Kenya. So, it's interesting you always put the clock behind the speaker. We all, as Christ followers, have a two-part testimony. One, of the infusion of God's grace into our life. But there needs to be, there should be, an inevitable second part of how we're participating in His kingdom stuff.
Yeah.
Compassion, justice, mercy, righteousness. With our neighbor next door, with the person at the homeless shelter, with the woman in the slum in Kenya. So, I want you to think for another minute before we close. If I asked you to tell me both parts of your testimony of the resurrected Christ in your life, I trust you could tell me the first part. Think for a minute what you would tell me about how you're participating in the good works that God has prepared in advance for you to do. Think about that for a minute, and then we'll close. Jesus, some of us can really nail that. We just know how you reached into our lives and we know what you've called us to, and others of us are a bit struggling. I pray that you would help guide us by your Spirit to participate in the things that you would call us to. Father, help us to never separate good news from good deeds, but to see them as inextricably bound together in what you're calling us to be as your kingdom people, demonstrating the power of the risen Christ. Jesus, we praise you for your work in us and through us. And we say with the psalmist, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. Amen.
Amen.